I come to you this morning with a lot on my mind, but good things on my mind. So today is Father's Day. Happy Father's Day. Happy Grandfather's Day. And I don't know if we have any great-grandfathers, but I am a father and a grandfather. So, but it makes me sound so old. But I realize what's happening sometimes. And it's just... Hey, thank Laird, great grandfather. And Chuck. You know, it's sometimers, Alzheimer's, sometimers. Last week, Keith asked me, what's Laird's name? You know, that blankness that just comes when you, you know, once you cross over the 60 mark, sometimes things begin to happen to you. And they're not good. Don't go there. Don't go there, Dave. Don't go there. Things start happening. All right. You know what? I have so much on my pulpit and so much that I want to accomplish this morning that I left my Bible back there, and I've got some fathers with some scriptures in their hand to help me this morning, and a good gentleman and good brother in the back to help me when I call out a scripture. So there's just we just got a roll here. And you know what? You're probably going to be a few minutes later than usual, but let your dinner burn. Let it go. All right. Praise the Lord. Today, across America, we are honoring our fathers and our grandfathers. And since 1922, the third Sunday in June has been set aside to pay tribute to our fathers. Because we find a scripture in Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, that is so amazing to me. And it's more than amazing to me, not just because it says to honor your father and your mother, which is, of course, one of the Ten Commandments, but I have read the Bible through twice. I have read the New Testament through, I've lost count, and I've read the Bible a lot. And I'll tell you what, there's very, very few scriptures in the scriptures that really talk about how do you obtain long life. You can talk about abundant life, you can talk about all kinds of things, but this is a very unusual scripture that leads us to an explanation of one of the things that God said could bring us long life. Whoever has Exodus 20, verse 12, would you please stand and read that for all of us? Wow, that you may live long. And different versions might say different things, but it's talking about the length of days and your years. God has set forth a principle. He has set forth a principle in my life that we honor our father and our mother, that we honor them. And, you know, I don't see any stipulations and any contingencies that says honor them if they love the Lord. Honor them if they, you know, if you agree with them. Honor them if they... No, there are no contingencies. God in our heart, because of the very nature that we are here because of our Father, he said, honor them that your days may be long upon the land. So I take that very personal for me. I say, Lord, help me to honor my father, respect my father, because I want to do right. And the principle of God is, if you do that, he said it, I didn't, that your days may be long. And that's one of the few scriptures hang on to and just ponder that a little bit, because it really means a lot. The meaning of father means founder, or a foundation, or to author. And, you know, there's different ways of speaking about Father's Day. And I'm not going to make this entire message just about fathers. So I want to transition a little further down into this, into another thought that I have. And I preached a full Father's Day last Father's Day. But, you know, a lot of times we just have a tendency to zero in on fathers and tell them what to do. I don't want to do that. That's not me. Because I believe that in our hearts, God begins to lead us. And for you fathers that know the Lord or hear the word of God, it begins to come, it begins to make sense for you how you should be the foundation and author of your home and with a God-fearing heart and a God-fearing home. All of us have a story, but because we're talking about fathers here, I would like to tell you that a little bit about my father, but not so much about him, about what happened in my life. My dad, I can only remember one time that I ever remember my father sitting in church with us. My mother is the one that, you know, raised us and began to school us and teach us in the things of God. My father didn't seem to be a bad man. I saw him read his Bible once in a while. I actually heard him say, "I love the Lord." But I only remember my father being in church one time. So my father did not go to church. But because he was my father, I respected him and I honored him. And so many times we don't realize that I'm not responsible for my father's decisions. I'm not responsible for his choices. I am responsible for what goes on in here and in here with only one person, and that's me and me alone. I cannot tell you if my father had an experience with God. I can't tell you if my father was really, in a sense, a good man or a not so good man. But I can tell you that God said for me to honor him. And at 17 years old, my father, due to much Christian influence, good or bad, I don't know. It's irrelevant in the sense that my father left our home when I was 17 years old. He disappeared from my life. And in my 20s, after I had our two girls and had two children, I went and searched for my father. I searched. I could not find him. I went to my relatives. I went to my aunt. I went to anyone that I knew. Where in the world's my dad? He's been gone for several years. I have no connection. I have no place. Don't know where my dad is. So I searched for a few months, and I didn't have the internet, and I didn't know how to Google back when I was in my 20s. So I knew one way I could get a hold of my father. He had a back ailment, and he had some surgery, so he was on disability. So I went into the Social Security office, and I said, I want to get a hold of my father. I'd just like to know if you would give me his address or tell me something. And they said, "We are not allowed to legally do that, but we'll tell you how to get a hold of him, and if you want to go that route, you may." So they said, "You need a Social Security number." So I went to my mom and got my dad's Social Security number. And they said, "You write a letter and you write it to your father, and we will mail him your letter. And if he wants to respond to you and get back with you, then he may do so. And that's totally up to him, and that would be his choice." So I wrote this letter to my dad. My girls tell me all the time in my cards they're going to put a Kleenex. They haven't, but every single time. I had it just yesterday. My daughter said, "I know, Dad, I should have put a Kleenex in your card." So I wrote my dad, and I just poured out my heart, and I wrote him, and I sent this letter off through the Social Security office, waiting and wanting to hear from my father. And one day I get a call, ring. This is a sign language for phone. So I get a call, which is true. I know a few signs. My favorite is eat at the table. Anyway, I get this call, and he says, the Social Security man said, "Are you so-and-so?" I said, "Yes." He said, "Is your dad Harry Edward Glauser?" I said, "Yes." He said, "We just want to tell you that your dad is in a cemetery in the state of Nevada." It hit me. It hit me just as if here my father had passed away. I didn't know. None of us, three children, relatives, nobody knew where my father was. So I have to, you know, I look at that and I say, God, I wanted to talk to my father one more time. I didn't have the chance to say goodbye. I didn't have the chance. But in my heart, I honored him. And I stand before you today believing in Exodus 20 and honoring verse 12 because I want to do what God wants me to do. And we need to, no matter what your father is or isn't, no matter what he's done or hasn't done, I feel like saying this morning, and this is new to me too. I've ministered many times in my life, and I normally, you know, God just drops something in my heart that I've never said. I've never said that story publicly. But I'll tell you what, if it wasn't for your father, you wouldn't be here this morning. If it wasn't for my dad, I wouldn't be standing here this morning. I would be in the abyss. I'd be worse than, I'd be worse than someone who just never saw life, wouldn't be here. So I want to honor God. I want to honor his word. I want to believe it. Believe it this morning. Because it's not a matter of what our fathers did or didn't do. We just need to say, God, I accept it. I accept your word that I am going to live in your word. So I wanted to acknowledge today, I wanted to bring a thought that I felt would be helpful to some of you this morning, and I believe I've done that. I struggled with this a little bit because I could have spoke easily on a whole message here, but I just want to leave all of us with something. And how do you do that? How do you go from, you know, all of a sudden having a father and then not? Well, I have a heavenly father. I have had a biological dad. I have had a stepdad. I have had three father-in-laws, and not one of them are alive today. But I have a heavenly father that I look to and believe in and cherish and relish in my heart. So our hearts are still overflowing, not because of what we see or have on this earth, but because we're going to. I do believe that there's going to be people in heaven that we never thought we'd see. I do believe that with all of my heart. Who has Luke chapter 4? Chapter 4, verse 45. I don't even know who has it. I handed it out. Luke 6, 45. Thank you, Dave.
A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks.
I love that verse. And I think it means a lot because it says out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. I'm going to teach you a secret. This is worth $1,000. No, this is worth $10,000. No, this is priceless. Listen, if you want to know where your heart is, you listen to your mouth. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. If you want to listen to where your brother or sister are in the Lord, you listen to what comes out of here. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The heart reveals where you are. If you want to listen, you can find out where somebody's heart is. It doesn't mean it's going to always be bad. Don't look for the negative. But, you know, sometimes if you really want to know, sometimes I think about what is coming out of my mouth. Because Jesus said, good water, bad water, bitter, sweet. If there's sweet water pouring out, your heart is in a good place. I gave a scripture of St. John 7, 37 and 38 to someone. I think that was our brother Keith.
The last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, if any man is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of
it just me, or does that sound wonderful? Out of his heart shall flow rivers of living water. Wow! I hope it's just not me. Oh my goodness. It's just exciting. Out of the heart, out of the streams of God. It flows from the throne and flows right through our vessels. If you believe that your vessel is a living, walking, breathing vessel of God, and he abides in us, and if Jesus said the keys of the kingdom are in you, there has to be more than in us than just a heart of flesh. There has to be. I better be careful. I might begin to act Pentecostal or something. Who has Ezekiel 36:26? Who would you please read that? Wow. God tells his people, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and will give you a heart of flesh. So what does that mean? A heart of flesh is sensitive when it comes to sin and will grieve over its offenses against the Lord. A heart of stone, however, feels very little, if anything. A heart of stone is deaf to the Holy Spirit's voice, insensible to his nudges, and unyielding to his will. But a heart of flesh, it delights to be molded into the image of Jesus. A stony heart just doesn't get it. When people are exuberantly worshiping the Lord, the heart of flesh cries out, and our heart cries out, O Lord, help me to love you even more. And there was just a couple of things here. I couldn't have said it any better. I just had to read it. And we were talking about John. I don't know if I gave that to anyone. Maybe not. But we were talking about overflowing there when Keith read that. I just have to do this. It says, this is so cool. It says, if you linger past the sunset at Niagara Falls, you can watch the colorful lights illuminate Horseshoe Falls, creating a mighty cascading rainbow. Back at your hotel room at night, you might drift off to sleep, thinking about the majesty and the majestic display and hear its roar in the distance. How many's ever been to Niagara Falls? Raise your hand. Isn't it cool? Simply awesome. One of the seven wonders of the world. Eventually, the colored lights blink out, the crowds dispense, the city is quiet, and everything stops. But the Niagara Falls River doesn't stop. The Niagara River doesn't stop. It continues to crash over the precipice. The waters continue to flow with every bit as much force as they had during the day. This is a picture of God's grace. Always flowing, always cascading, always constant, never diminishing. Speaking of the Lord Jesus, he said, from his fullness we have all received grace on top of grace, fullness upon fullness, flowing rivers, overflowing with the life that God has given to us. Wow. Overflowing. When something is overflowing, there's going to be evidence of it. I said to Jean, look at that. God dropped in my heart recently about the word just overflow. And that's why I'm bringing it this morning. In the council, somebody said something about overflowing, and there's evidence in it. What did I do? I wrote it down. I wrote it down. There's evidence of it in it. I think, Jay, look on the front of your bulletin. I think I know who this is under this fountain. It's not me. I think I know who this is. Well, when something's overflowing, I think this is Brian. I think this is Brian under here. About 2-3 years ago, he had a little more hair. And I think that, look at there. Is that not Brian? That's Brian under there. when you overflow, you know, that's what happens. It just overflows. It just happens. You can't stop it. You can't stop Niagara Falls. It overflows. Good job, Jason. Oh, praise the Lord. Who had Romans 15:13? Would you stand and read it, please? Thank you. There's an absolutely amazing, that is just an absolute circle underline great, great verse that he just read in Romans 13. I'm going to read it in the New English Version just because I have the mic and it's make sure everyone hears it, and I have a reason for also reading it. Thank you, Glenn. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, that you may overflow with the hope of the power of the Holy Spirit. I have two papers here, proof. I found out to have proof, you have to have facts. So I have facts here. This scripture that I just find just fascinating and so wonderful, that we can overflow with the hope and in the power of the Holy Spirit. I have 22 Bible versions in my hand. I have 22 printed out Bible versions. And there's only two words in all 22 versions in this scripture that talk about overflowing or abounding. Overflow is printed 6 times. And abound is printed 16 times. But abound means to exist in large amounts. Abound means to exist in large amounts. In the synonym. Sounds like a flavor of cinnamon. I wish it was just easier. That's a word or phrase that means exactly or nearly the same as the word or phrase. So someone say it, sin. Thank you. The same, that word. It's to be plentiful, be abundant, be full, overflow with. So in the real sense, we have overflow with 6, we have abound with 16, and we have an abundance. We have a large amount. So we have God, the God of peace, filling our hearts with joy and peace in the Holy Spirit. Wow. Overflow means flow over the brim of a container, or the surplus is not able to accommodate the available space in our hearts. This is not the heart that pumps, but in our inner man, we have a spiritual heart. And that's why we read that in the inner man, there's a spiritual heart. It's not the heart of stone. We wouldn't be able to pump our own fleshly blood and circulate it. We're talking about spiritually. He changes our heart and it becomes a heart of flesh that was a heart of stone. The synonym in for overflow. Hey, do we have a good time in church or don't we? For overflow is surplus, excess, or meaning extra. I'll tell you what, you know, God just has everything we need, and we need him. Praise God. You know, there was one testimony I have to bring to you. I couldn't do it or I'll overflow. I'll bust. In the council and in the conference, there was a man who was an ex-Muslim. He was unsaved. And I want to tell you his testimony so briefly, because it was so dynamic and just touched my heart so much. This man came to the pulpit. He's now a pastor over and across seas, but he wouldn't tell where he's from. I don't know what he was, but he was actually the leader in some Muslim community or some Muslim sect. And he said this. He said, they taught us to kill. They taught us. He said, I know what they tell you, and I know some are peaceful people, and I praise the Lord for the peaceful ones. But he said they taught us some things that I couldn't go along with, and I would struggle with that. And he said I just couldn't adapt to that way of thinking. And he said I struggled for. I was 25 years old, and I was still struggling with some of the Muslim ways. And he said I heard one scripture, He said, I heard one Bible verse. He didn't say where he heard it. He said he heard one Bible verse. And this Bible verse was, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? He said, that's all I heard. He said, that is all I knew. That is all I heard. I had the Quran. And he said, I was grew up with the Quran. He said, that's all I heard. And he said, that one verse kept going over and over in my head, and I couldn't get it out. And he said, I began to search. Now, this was so amazing, kind of sad amazing. He said, I searched for a Bible where I lived for 6 years. I couldn't find one. He said, I searched for a Bible for 6 years. And, you know, it brings tears to my eyes because I think, oh, my goodness. You know, I have Bibles all around. I have Bibles downstairs, upstairs, in the back, in my heart. And here's a man, a living human being like you and I. He literally looked for a Bible because of that one scripture that he heard that plagued his mind and kept saying, what is this? What kind of a God must there be that would say that my soul's worth so much? So much that if I gain the whole world. He said, in my mind, I was thinking, is that really true that my soul is worth more than anything and everything in the world? So he said, I searched for a Bible for 6 years before one was handed to me. And he said, when it was, he said, it changed my life. And he gave his life to Christ and became a pastor. And, I thought, wow, how fortunate we are that we are living in not only living in New Testament times, but we also have the New Testament in our hand. We have it in front of us. And sometimes we neglect to read it. And here's men, probably other men in the world, looking for a little piece of scripture. I pray that something I've said, I want to make sure, first of all, that I got, did I miss anyone? I had a lot on my mind. I didn't want to miss, did I have everyone read their scripture? Did I miss anyone that I handed it to? Okay. I pray that God would just use a word or use a scripture or use something that would just bless you this morning and bless you on Father's Day. I know it wasn't a full Father's Day message, but I just want you to know that we can overflow our hearts, and I want you to have a wonderful day. But this morning, I do want to end up with a small challenge to you, to all of us. And, you know, I'm old enough to know that challenges and oftentimes to me are set so big, so great, that we can't meet them, or they're so difficult to meet that halfway through we drop it, or three quarters of the through we just kind of give it up. But for whatever reason, again, this is just something that God laid on my heart. I want to pass out some papers, and I want to put out a small challenge to us this morning. And I don't want you to answer to me. I don't want you to answer to anyone about this. I just want you to see if you want to look at this and decide in your own mind, will I do this? It is reading the New Testament through in 1 year. Now, and part of it is because that man that said he was looking for a Bible for 6 years and he couldn't find it. And I think sometimes I had one time in my life I was put under guilt and condemnation. So if you always notice, I'm very careful with vows. I'm very careful with things because I've had some things that's been very difficult in my life. And I have learned the hard way. I signed myself up one time when I was a young man, probably late 20s. Maybe it was my early 30s, I forget. But at that time, I didn't really have much of a choice. I was in a spot where you did what you were told to do. And I signed my name to reading this for a year, reading 10 chapters a day in the Bible. I tried that. After about 3 or 4 months, I just couldn't do it. I was working full time. I was raising a family. But you talk about feeling bad and feeling under condemnation. I didn't make it. And so I'm very, very careful. So what I have here, I believe, is kind of a challenge, but I don't want you to sign up. I don't want you to answer to me. I don't want you to answer to anyone else. But this reading is so simplified and so interesting that it's going to be even a challenge for me. But it's a challenge I think we can meet, because it talks about reading the New Testament through one chapter a day, only Monday through Friday. And it has a square that you can check off, that if you read your chapter, that it gives you something to keep track of, that you at least by this Father's Day, by to the next Father's Day, maybe you can get through the New Testament. Some of you may do other scriptures, other readings, and that's fine. But you know, sometimes it is nice to have a challenge for yourself. And if you miss a chapter, it's got a Saturday and Sunday not on here, so it gives you the weekend to catch up. Because, you know, again, what are we accomplishing when we set goals and set challenges so high that we can't meet them? I don't see the relevancy of that. But sometimes it's fun. Sometimes it's fun to take something and say, I'm going to do this. And it tells you exactly what to read Monday through Friday, and gives you, you can check it off. There's two things about this that you can't see on the paper until you get it in your hand. But before I hand this out, oh, the tension. Oh, the expectations of what's on this paper. When I was in Columbus, Ohio, let me tell you about a challenge. When I was in Columbus, Ohio, we were in this Hyatt Hotel, and we were on the 7th floor. Now, others have done this, but I had not. And maybe you can do this, maybe you can't. I don't know, but I was on my way. I was by myself at one moment. It was around 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and I was heading up to a room, and I looked at the elevator, and I thought, everybody's standing there waiting for the elevator. I thought, can I? Can't I? And boy, with a smile on my face, I opened the stairwell door and thought, a hotel stairs are much higher than house stairs, because you got floors that have many feet between each of them. And so 7 stories up was a pretty good amount. So I thought, can I climb 7 stories nonstop? I'm just going to do it. If I can't, but it was a challenge that I set to myself. I didn't do it. I actually did it with a smile on my face. You know, so I started at a pretty good pace, and I got to the 6th floor, and I saw the 6. And my heart started beating, and it's like I kind of felt like stopping. So my body said to stop. My mind said to keep going. So my mind won. I saw that 6, and I one more story. No, I can do this. So I got to the top. I stepped out on the 7th floor of the Hyatt Hotel. I walked over to the window, and I looked out the window, and this is no kidding. I looked way down at the street. It looked so far up, and I thought, oh, my goodness. The stairs in my mind. Think of the stairs from the street that I'm seeing clear up to where I'm standing. I literally got to that standing point by walking nonstop and hiking up those stairs. You know, so it was a little challenge for me. I had never done it. It was interesting to me. Now I wonder, could have I made one more? But that's where we were. But you know, it's pretty high up. So sometimes a small challenge that's obtainable and reachable works. And I think this is attainable, but you don't have to answer to me. But if it's something that you would like to do, while these are being passed down, I'm going to tell you 2 unusual things about the way this is laid out. I'd like to know, Joe, would you please hand out one of these to everyone on your side? And I'd like everyone to take one. Again, this is something that, Lonnie, would you want to hand this out, please? On your side, hand one out to everyone. This is a very unusual situation, and I'll tell you why on there. The reason it's laid out differently is for 2 good reasons. One, I understand it. One, I don't understand. One is, I understand it because it's laid out so you don't get bored. I mean, seriously, you know, sometimes you just, it gets mundane. Sometimes you do something repetitiously. So it's laid out in a way that doesn't get bored. And I was told by a professor in a university that the reason this is laid out this way is that our minds, some reason, and I can't give you the reason, but it's to help us remember what we've read. It's so you don't get bored and you remember what you've read. So, I want you to know that, because if you wanted to do it the old-fashioned way, you can. Start at Matthew and go through. But it helps you, it's laid out in a format that helps you to remember what you've read. I can't tell you why, because I didn't make it. I just see it. But I was told by a professor that it helps you to remember some of the things that you read that day. And it's also to keep you from being bored. But you check, they have small little squares, thank you. It has small little squares that you just check off it's done. If some reason you miss something, hey, you can catch it up on the weekend. So I pray that this morning that something from the Word of God or someone said was blessed your heart. And so I'm just going to close in prayer this morning. Gene, if you want to come and just play anything, just a little music there, that'd be great. I wish you all a happy Father's Day, a great Grandfather's Day. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you for allowing me to speak. And why don't we just stand while I dismiss in prayer. Lord, we do thank you, Lord, for the Word of God. We thank you that it's a light unto our feet and a light to our pathway. And we pray, God, that our pathway, Lord, will become straight, will become honorable to you. And we pray that, Lord, we'll just honor you as we honor our fathers. Oh, God, I thank you, Lord, that we have life. I thank you that we're here this morning. Lord, I thank you that you've given us the privilege to walk on this great globe. That, Lord, there are brothers and sisters around the world just looking to you this morning and seeking you every day. We thank you, Lord, that we have the wonderful privilege of the Word of God. We think it's so precious. And, Lord, we lose sight of that because we get accustomed to it. We know that we have it, so it's there. But, God, help us, Lord, to even do this, make this challenge to ourselves that we can do it. We can do it. God, we just pray that the Word of God will continue to be overflowing in our heart, and you'll give us the peace that passes all understanding in the midst of our lives, in the midst of our busy lives, in the midst of our work lives, our family lives. God, we just depend upon you. I pray that the Holy Spirit, God, will just drop in our hearts and just be so meaningful that we'll want to do your will, and we'll just be in the center of your will. And we'll just give you all the praise, honor, and glory. We praise you and worship you, Lord, with all that we have. In Jesus' mighty and wonderful name, amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.